Hello, welcome to Liquid Chords. Today's guest is Cuiva from the Berlin-based trio Wyvern Lingo. We chat about her move to Berlin, being in a band with lifelong friends, DJing, and touring with fellow Bray musician Hozier, a multi-talented artist with an incredibly interesting story. Enjoy.
Liquid Chords. Talk about the music in your life.
Liquid Chords.
Hi Cuiva, how are you getting on?
Hey, I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, of course, thanks for having me.
No, all good. Where are you recording from today?
I am in Bray, County Wicklow right now. I just got back a couple of days ago, so I'm back in my mum's house.
Cool. You're in Germany, aren't you? Is it Berlin?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of moved over there this year, but it's been a lot of really drawn out back and forth just with needing to quarantine and stuff. So I don't really feel properly settled, but technically, yes, that's where I live.
It seems to be... place like a lot of artists are attracted to go into. I suppose it's been, as you said, it's been quite broken up for you, but what's your experience been so far of the city?
Yeah, there are a lot of artists. I mean, the first thing I'd say about it is that it's far, you know, much more affordable to live in. Okay. You know, it's just there's just a vibrancy and energy around the place, even in this like weird kind of corona time. There's still just a lot of excitement, and I think that, you know, the arts are really nurtured in Berlin. You know, like you get like discounts on health insurance if you're working full time in something creative, you know. So just stuff like that where you just feel like you're taken care of, as opposed to, I don't know, not being necessarily taken care of in Ireland. Or, you know, I feel like that's changing at the same time, so I don't want to put a total negative spin on Ireland, but it does feel, just feels like the right place to be, I think, for a lot of creatives.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. And were you in Dublin prior to going, or did you go straight from Bray to Berlin?
I had lived in Greystones, actually, for a little while. Right. It was a weird move. and yeah, then I lived in Bray because I just couldn't afford to live anywhere else, to be honest, and do music full time. So yeah, kind of went straight from Bray to Berlin. Actually, which was class. So good.
Yeah, it was probably... It'll take a year for you to acclimatise to that change. Bray's actually like... My parents used to be... I remember driving down to Bray, like when I was a kid, in the back seat.
It's a great buzz. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Do you know? I think as well, it's just... It was time for a change and time for adventure and YOLO.
I'm so glad you brought that back. I felt like YOLO died, but yeah.
Oh no, it's alive and well every day.
Resurgence, especially now in COVID times. You got a YOLO.
You got a YOLO.
So growing up in Bray, what was there much of a music scene, and who were some of your early influences?
You know, there actually was, which is class. There used to be loads of like underage gigs and stuff. I think. Actual, you know, rock music and bands was very popular when I was a teenager. I was really lucky. Like my older brother played guitar and with my cousins and his friends and stuff. So it was just always part of my life, and there was always music in the house. Like there was a few kind of youth collectives even in Bray that would set up underage gigs and stuff in like the parochial hall and, you know, all that. So it was really kind of easy to play music and for there to actually be a payoff of a live gig at some point in your hometown. So yeah, kind of a really good place to be for that, you know?
Yeah, well, there's obviously been a few artists, other union shells have come out of it as well. I'm sure the scene sounds like it was quite vibrant. And who were some of those early influences musically for you?
Sorry, yeah, that's what you said.
Sorry.
My early influences probably would have been like Led Zeppelin. And like, I don't know, they just got to a point when I was like 12 where I kind of snapped into understanding what was so good about the music my parents were listening to. Yeah. Do you know? So like, I got really into Led Zeppelin. Then I read their autobiography and discovered Joni Mitchell, because Jimmy Page was talking about her. And then there's just all this, you know, like delving back into all that music from the 60s and 70s, and but then also being, you know, a kind of 90s baby and having, you know, like Destiny's Child and Lauryn Hill as influence. So kind of just, yeah, just getting really excited about music at like 12, 13 and just like digging in and seeing what else I could find, you know.
Yeah, that's quite, I have that experience too, but with your parents, you know, you listen to your parents' music when you're younger and maybe you don't necessarily understand why they like it, and then you rediscover it later on and you listen to it in a completely new way, and you're like, oh shit, this is actually, this is great, and for all the reasons, or for none of the reasons I thought it was, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I guess at that time as well, there was a you know, there wasn't Spotify. It wasn't that easy to like, to just go searching for music, you know, like the internet wasn't even like, I remember my friend sending me YouTube for the first time and I was like, oh, this is cool. Do you know, when we were like, I don't know, 15 or something. So yeah, you really had to kind of go digging. Like when I discovered LimeWire, game changer.
Oh, yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Destroyed the family computer, but it was class.
Yeah, so many viruses, but worth it. Like,
yeah, and like I even got to know like songs with the little glitch. You know, now when I hear like a clear song on Spotify, I'm like, oh, I missed that little glitch that I illegally downloaded.
Yeah, that white noise 30 seconds in. Yeah. I remember like having LimeWire, and I went through my obsession for Nirvana was just, it's embarrassing, and I'm constantly reminded of it. But I used to like troll LimeWire to get, you know, unreleased songs or, you know, like B-sides or whatever.
Yeah. And it was so good for that.
Yeah, but it was a way, I think a lot of like lesser known bands would put their music out there as, you know, potentially like a Nirvana B-side, and it like, sounded very like Nirvana, and I was thinking, oh, this is a bit different from Nirvana.
That's mad.
Yeah, weird marketing technique. But so you play drums within Wyvern Lingo. Was that your first instrument?
I guess it was. Well, it was the first one that I chose to play. I was sent to like violin lessons and piano lessons as a kid, but I was such a little sulky bitch. Like I didn't really want to, I didn't want to play those. Cause you know, you learn how to play these like classical pieces and like now I'm interested, but like at the time I was like, fuck this. Yeah. So, then when I met, my bandmates in Wyvern Lingo, Karen and Saoirse, we kind of all became friends when we were like 12. And Saoirse had a guitar, played guitar, and Karen played piano and was learning how to play bass. So I decided I'd buy a drum kit with my confirmation money. And we would just like jam in my like the garage in my house and stuff. So it's kind of a nice vibe.
I had no idea that you'd known each other for that long.
Oh my god.
I love
so
bands
long.
Like that. You know, this has been childhood
so
friends.
Bloody long.
It's been an ordeal.
Yeah. My god. It's been a lot. Yeah, it's been fucking so long. But yeah, it's really sweet. It's really cheesy, but it's just the truth. We just kind of gravitated towards each other. I suppose because, like, you know, a lot of teenage girls are, you know, not as interested in music the way that the three of us were, and we're all very nice to each other, which is again not a thing that all teenage girls can be accused of, you know. We all want each other to be happy and have a nice time. I suppose that's like
teenagers, you know, in general are just very mean.
Teenagers are so mean. Yeah, you know, just avoid them, find the good ones and get rid of the rest.
And you did. And so how many unreleased embarrassing tracks do you have from when you were 12 or 13?
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, actually, because we've recently or just this year started a Patreon page. So Saoirse went rooting, and I can't believe she still had them. But yeah, there was some pretty embarrassing, and they're like, you know that like really raw teenage emotion that you think is the most important thing in the world.
Yeah,
but like kind of like not bad. If I heard like 15-year-olds doing that now, I'd be like, fair play to them. So we're gonna slowly like release those onto our Patreon, because we're far enough away from them now to not be like, oh my god, you know, it feels like a lifetime
you've done
ago.
Some okay stuff since, like, so you can
you got it, you just gotta make the crap stuff. You gotta get it out of your system.
Important process. And what point did it come together as Wyvern Lingo? When was the, you know, like the year even it was?
See, because I guess because since we've been friends, we've been we've been playing music together. And so the only reason that we named the band Wyverlingo was we were performing in the Christmas concert in school, and one of the teachers was like, you can't just be Karen Queeve and Saoirse again, you need a band name. So we were like, fine, we're Wyverlingo, thinking we'd fucking change it at some point, and we didn't. And yep, so yeah, but we were always do you know, like, we'd rarely like meet up to hang out. It would always be like, let's meet up and I'm working on this tune. And so but we never really made it our full-time thing. We all went to college and stuff, and then we put out our first EP, like, which, you know, took us ages to get together because we were just doing it ourselves, and it actually went down really well. That's the Widow Knows EP. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what year.
2014. Thank you. Sound like a complete nerd.
No, yeah. Thank you. So yeah, we brought that out in 2014, and it went down really well. And thankfully, at that time, myself and Karen had been doing bits of backing vocals with our good friend Hosier, so we had our foot kind of firmly in the door at that point. So it was a really good time for us to be like, you know what, let's do this full time and give it a go. Like, I was supposed to have been finishing my degree, but it was like, I was doing fine art, and my heart wasn't really in it. I was much more interested in doing music at the time. So I dropped out of college, and we have been doing the music ever since.
The old musicing.
Doing the old music.
And I can't let you go without asking you about Hosier. Was he in your school with you at that time, or just like knew him from the area?
I had actually, I think I met him like previously, but the first real solid way that we became friends with him was because of a band called Zaska. Do you know Zaska?
I don't know.
It's like a jazz funk band by Max Zaska. He's still doing it. It's his kind of solo project, and he gets guest musicians in. And so Karen and Andrew Hosier were the two singers in the band for a few years, and he would have been hanging around the scene. Like, there was a really good scene around Sweeney's and Knockin' Stockin', and, you know, there just used to be lots of really good live music in Dublin. And yeah, that's kind of just how we got to be friends with him. Like, he even in the early days when the girls and I were doing little gigs in town, he would have played the support, you know. Like, he's just been a friend of ours for a long time. And then when it took off for him, he was like, oh shit, I really need some backing singers, lads, are you free? You know, it was kind of like that, which is really lovely. Nice and organic.
Yeah.
It just took off for him so quickly. Like, it's mental.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got.
It's great.
I love that. And he used to open for us and support us. You've got that forever. That.
Yeah, well,
you give him his break. That's just say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, I remember there was one gig that he agreed to do, and like, his star was firmly rising, and it was too late for him to back out. But yeah, no, we just known him for a long time, and it was really nice to kind of be with him for the start of it taking off. You know, I was like with him for his first trip around the States, and it was so hectic, and there was so much hype around him.
Did you go as the term band then when he first?
Not actually. Myself and Karen kind of went at different times, but. When he went to the States the first time and did like South by Southwest and stuff, yeah, I was there for all that, and that was class. Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah, mental.
And sure, just give you more of an appetite to do it with Wyverlingo. Yeah,
I actually was still in college at that point, and when I came back from being on tour with Hosier, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. Like, even if, you know, would never aspire to be doing it at the level that he's doing it at. Like, I'll sleep on the floor wherever we go, but I just want to like travel the world and play music. And
I was like, how was the process of going, okay, we're three friends jamming, this is now becoming tangible, and like becoming super serious about it, and, you know, recording that debut album?
I think that once we'd all made the decision that, okay, this is what we're doing, you know, like, I was supposed to be, I had like a couple of years left of college. Saoirse had just got offered like a really good job as like a, like, because she'd been kind of doing waitressing, and then she got offered to like a managerial role in like a really good Dublin restaurant. And Karen had just finished her degree. And I think it was just when we decided at that point that this is what we were going to concentrate on, then, you know, we got a manager, we went looking for a label, we got signed to Ruby Works, we then it then the wheels were just in motion. Then we just had our rehearsal room, and you know, I want to say 9 to 5, but more like 11 to 4. Maybe we would like, you know, meet up and just would be full time band, you know, and just like living and breathing it. Like even for the first album, we were like so hands on, and I like insisted on doing loads of the artwork and stuff because we were just like, you know, giving it absolutely everything. I've learned when to like, when I don't need to like smother everything with control all the time. But yeah, I think, you know, we're such good friends. Like we're never going to fall out. We're never going to, we're kind of past that point. We're more like, we're not, I wouldn't even say we're like sisters because I feel like sisters would be happier to be at each other's throats, you know? But, you know, we're all just like, yeah, working towards a common goal. And it's just kind of, yeah, it's just kind of been like that ever since. We just, it was kind of unspoken, I suppose. It's just like, right, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I love that you said organic. I love that camaraderie. I'm always a sucker for those bands that have been together for so long. Because, again, yeah, just with the last band I was in, we knew each other since we were, you know, 11. And some of us knew each other younger than that. And it's just to have that experience with people you're so close with and to do it together. And now, like in reflection, it's, you know, nothing really happened over spectacular, but it's just like that was a time of my life with people, you know, I was very close to, and you did it together. So it's always, it was something to have. And you're still
do you know, yeah.
And you're obviously still at it. We released, you know, recently released 3 singles in a year that releasing singles wasn't far from easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, tell me a bit about that and like the difference of putting music out in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, so luckily for us, we had kind of started to make this move to Berlin last year, so we had already recorded everything live in studio. So we always do, well, we try to as much as possible do like drums, bass or keys and guitar all live together, because we always like to go in there and do some production stuff. We need to make sure the kind of the essence of the tracks are have that like live, warm, relatively raw feeling, you know. So we had all of that done kind of last November, December, and then January, and then in February we all decided to take a month off. And I can't remember why, but it was such good timing. I'm so thankful. Like, who takes a month off in February? Like, Saoirse is a twin, and her brother had moved to Sydney like 4 years ago. So she always had it in her head, February 2020, I'm going to Sydney. So then I was like, grand, I'm going to go over to San Francisco. Karen went to Cuba. See you later. We always have to take holidays at the same time. Yeah, it's gas. And it just goes far away from each other as we possibly can. And then she then, you know, we came back in March. We were Wallace Bird's band for a week. And then, you know, the world ended. And we all came back to Ireland.
What timing?
I know.
Cuba. Like, coming home from Cuba.
I know. I even went and did, like, this is just going to be, you know, a kind of weird flex, but okay. I did a weird DJ gig in Croatia. Like, got back from America, did my DJ gig. And then like when I'm reading that in my diary, I'm like, wow, I can't even imagine that I could just be like, hop on one flight, hop on the next flight, go and do this.
Yeah.
You know, bippity boppity booping around the place. Yeah. And then just so fucking lucky. So lucky. Anyway, yeah, so basically all of the main tracking was done. There was little bits and bobs. We all have home recording setups. So it meant that, like, you know, the kind of post production stuff and any extra vocals, we could do that ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we like, yeah, eventually got it all together with just kind of passing files back and forth to each other. And, you know, it might even be that it got done more efficiently because we didn't have anything else to distract us, you know. And with the first track, Don't Say, that actually, we actually got a few different mixes or like almost remixes of that, production ideas. And we really had the like kind of time to listen and do all that and make sure that the direction that we were going for with this album was what we were totally happy with. And so, yeah, I mean, all of the ducks were in a row, I suppose, for us to be releasing music and to get stuff together.
Yeah.
Thank japers. So, yeah.
I mean, your flex is the perfect segue. yeah, because I was going to ask you about your DJ and how that came about.
Pure arrogance is how that came about.
I don't think so.
Noel, initially it was because we were doing an after party.
I was like,
we'll just do a DJ set. And the girls are like, what? It's really difficult. I was like, that'll be grand. It's going to be great. And they were like, no, I don't think so. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be great. And then thankfully a friend of Saoirse's lent us her decks. And then I like tried to have a go with them. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? So she kind of took the reins for the for that. But I got a taste for it because I really like, I mean, it's the same thing about gigging. It's really fun to, I guess, create an atmosphere in a room. I have a lot of kind of interest in that as a thing. And like, I don't know, makes a lot of sense to me, like, you know, being the soundtrack to someone's good time, you know. So just kind of because of that, just kind of got asked to do more gigs. And I've just been really like cutting my teeth doing these gigs. And I'm like, oh, shit. Get it together.
Yeah.
But I got like, you know, residencies in places like Chennai. And there was a bar in town. I'm not sure if it still exists. It's called Mimaz. And places like that. So
I'm DJing at Mimaz tonight, class. But I'm sure you get plenty of stick about that.
Yeah. And then I got asked to like DJ in Belgium for Galway 2020. And then I got asked to DJ in Croatia. And it's great crack. Jesus. DJing is... I recommend.
You've done a lot in terms of a recent venture for you. it must be an interesting dynamic doing, you know, that as a solo venture in comparison to being with, you know, you don't have those people beside you. So I can imagine it may be much more nerve-wracking.
Absolutely, especially in the early days when I was still kind of getting used to it. And like feeling the pressure, because I'm one of those people when there's a bad DJ and they do a bad mix and I'm on the dance floor, like my back will go tense and I'll give them a filthy look. You know, I'm really unforgiving. So I was like imagining everyone in the room was as
doing
mean
you.
As me.
Yeah. Berlin.
It's the only time I've done a gig where like mid gig I'd be like, maybe I'll just pretend to faint. Maybe I'll just pretend something terrible has happened and I can't possibly finish the gig. Yeah. But like I got over that. No, it's great crack.
It's like, because you're not old, but I'm just saying the older you get with like everything, you know, it just becomes to me more ominous. And
yeah,
you're just like, oh, I can't do it. It's weird. Like when you're younger, you're just this confident that you're going to pick up guitar and be a rock star, you know?
Yeah.
So
I guess you're forgiven though, you know, when you're a younger boy, hog, you're forgiven. You've got the potential. But when you're like, you know,
look at them there.
I wouldn't want to be like embarrassing myself on stage DJing when I'm 50 and be like, ah.
Yeah.
God love her.
And Berlin, I guess, is like, I'm sure, like when things come back, that'll be cool to dip your toes into.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, it'd be good crack. I mean, like what you were saying there, it is really nice. I love, you know, working with the girls, and obviously we are a well-oiled machine, and you know, there are times when I think being in a band is really hard and being a musician is really, really tough and there's a lot of rejection. And it's, you know, even in the like feelings, you know, the kind of darkest days of what are we doing with our lives? We're all in the room together and like supporting each other. So it's a gorgeous dynamic to be a part of. And yeah, as you say, like to have your kind of close friends with you in it is just like, well, like whatever happens, this is lovely. This is great. You know, what a great work environment we've created for ourselves, you know? But it is really nice to have other things to do. You know, like I think in 2019, I started doing a lot more solo shows and DJing and stuff. So yeah, it is really nice to have a different way of approaching a live set. It's good for me anyway. I like change. Mm-hmm. I like things to change up a lot. And yeah, hopefully when it's been the weirdest year to move to Berlin, everything's closed.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully when the world stops ending, I will start doing some fun sets, DJing or whatever else.
Well, Quiva, I think now would be a good time. We have, I guess to say, I don't want to say it, but he's turning a bit of a co-host, and he's been coming on and asking thought-provoking. He's been asking the real questions on Liquid Quartz. I'm just going to pass you on to him.
Okay.
This is Peter, the Heater Clark.
Hello.
Hello, Peter.
Hello. Quiva, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm great. I can't believe I'm talking to you. I'm just such a big fan of your band and of your drums.
Thank you.
You know, I'm also a huge fan of your disc jockeying because I'm also a disc jockey in my town of Kimbleberry. Obviously, you're a disc jockey, but if you were a professional jockey, what would you call your horse?
Can I call it Little Brendan?
Small Brendan? Tiny Brendan?
Small Brendan.
Little Brendan.
Small Brendan.
I like it.
Little Brendan is my DJ name, and I feel like, you know, my horse could be Small Brendan.
I like it. Okay, thanks, Quiva, for that one. Next one is, can you tell me about the meaning behind your song Brutal Lottery? Did you win a lottery? Did you lose a lottery? What's the story there?
Peter, I don't think you want to talk about that right now.
Is it sad?
I'm eating an orange. You sound like you're from a sunny place. But we'll just say it's for a really amazing cause. And if you want to download the track, you should do it on Bandcamp because all of the proceeds go to Missing Children Europe.
A sneaky plug.
Sneaky plug. Yeah.
Very sneaky indeed. Okay, fair enough. I'll let that one slide. Let me talk about something. So you live in Germany, right? My favorite band is from Germany, Kraftwerk.
Oh.
You know them?
I do know them, not personally. Haven't met them yet.
Tell me this, if you were a synthesizer, how would you sound?
Smooth.
What? Say it
go
again.
Go for like smooth.
You'd sound smooth? Because I'd probably sound like like that. Or like maybe
George.
But polyphonic.
Kind of like fluty or like zhuzhy. Zhuzh.
Zhuzhy, I like that.
Like a zhuzhy Hoover, maybe is what I'll go for.
Oh, yes.
Perfect. Yeah?
Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Sorry, no, you didn't want a description. I'm so sorry.
Last question. This one's an easy one. What day is it today?
Oh, my gosh, I have no idea.
Correct. It's National Marzipan Day. Well done.
Do you like marzipan?
I don't know how I feel about marzipan.
I don't know anybody who likes marzipan.
You know me, can't you?
A lot of people hate it.
Yeah.
I don't think I hate it. But I think I could live without it and not mind.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Quiva. Great to meet you. I've outstayed my welcome.
Not at all.
That's an easy sentence to say in an Australian accent. I'm going to get out the way. Back to you, Concha. Back to you, Quiva. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you. Bye.
So, Quiva, that was Peter the Hater Clark.
He's a colourful character.
Yeah, he didn't tell you. He can change his body temperature at will. That's his trick. So, let's chat about 2021 because there's something.
The future.
There's something pretty interesting coming up. Do you want to chat to us about that?
Oh, yeah. I was like, what? There is? Oh, no. Yes, there is. The Wyvern Lingo album will be released on February 26th. And the good news is you can pre-order it now. And there's lots of delish merch bundles. And it's stunning. And you should buy it.
And I just should let everybody know, Quiva practiced that 4 times before the show.
You told me I should do it just like that.
Yeah, and you did. Brilliant. No, tell me, how was it recorded? Was it same sort of method as the singles? That just were like home recording?
Everything. We recorded the whole album in bulk. And then some that didn't make the cut. We recorded them all like live band together in the room, drums, bass, keys, and then we just kind of added onto it from there. So yeah, it was all recorded in Berlin and it was great. Let me just finish it off back in Ireland on our various computers.
I was waiting for something huge there.
No. on our computers.
Okay, cool. Well, I look forward to hearing the music from the computers. No, so are the three singles that have been released in 2020, will they feature on the album?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, that song Brutal Lottery doesn't feature on the album. Just, I would like to talk about that song Brutal Lottery because it is for a really good cause. It's not featured on the album because the tone of it is very different to the actual kind of concept of the album, but it's a song that we've had for the last 4 years and it's just never felt like the right time to release it. Mm-hmm. But there's a link on our Bandcamp if you download the track. The money goes to Missing Children Europe, who are helping kind of migrant children have a voice, and it's a really worthwhile cause. So yeah, go check it out.
We'll be sure to put that in the link.
Yeah, thank you.
Sounds worthwhile. Quiv, thank you so much for doing this, and it's been great to meet you.
I thought I was supposed to be drunk.
Yeah.
I thought I was supposed to drink loads of whiskey.
Yeah, well, that it was a problem. I'm going to blame Dead Rabbit. They should have sent it out on time. No, we don't. We can't actually tell our guests to drink whiskey. Apparently, it's illegal to do that.
Well, it is. It's 3 o'clock. In fairness.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, Mom, I'm going upstairs to get drunk. Just
I'm taking my orange with
me. I'm working
to make old fashions. No, we are. Yeah. We want. We sometimes do. I think Sunday at 3 is actually a really good time. So we'll have to do another one, maybe with the full band, and we'll just do a big mad.
Oh yeah,
a big mad.
And we'll
sash.
Make some cocktails. Oh, lovely.
Yeah, we have
mad
a.
Mad for it.
Each week we have a feature with our friend from Dead Rabbit, Steph. So she'll be in the next segment of this show. She'll be teaching us how to make hot toddies. So when yours arrives, your bottle, you can make as many as you would like.
Unreal. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
No, it's been fast. Speak soon.
Yeah, bye.
Cocktail time with Steph.
Hey, Steph, how you getting on?
How are you?
I'm good. What are we having this week?
So the weather's gotten a little bit chillier and I am definitely in some cozy vibes. So I thought that we would try and make a potato and leek soup.
That sounds good. I have been trying to do dry January. Actually, technically, this is probably going to involve whiskey, so it won't be dry, but it's acceptable, isn't it? If you're doing dry January.
It's absolutely acceptable. Okay. It's so, you know, when you're cooking with whiskey, you are going to end up evaporating off a lot of the alcohol. So it isn't really the alcohol we're going for. We're going for the flavor of the whiskey. So we're looking for that black pepper and a little bit of that caramel to add a little bit of sweetness. But it'll also add a lot of depth to the soup that we're making as well.
Okay, so it's dry January approved. We can live
yes.
with this. Okay,
yes.
Perfect. Okay.
And if anyone asks any questions, I don't know the answer. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess this one is I'll try and I mean, everyone has their own recipes, so I'll just give a super generic recipe. But if you're using like 450 grams of potatoes and leeks, a small onion, 1 clove of garlic, 50 grams of butter, 1 liter of chicken stock, around 150 milliliters even of cream, 125 mils of milk, and then a glug of Dead Rabbit. So we've talked about this before. It's like my official measurement when I'm cooking is to just glug it, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, so I mean, like, those are like general specs for making a soup. But like, if you want to add more potato, then go wild. And one thing I would say is that you don't want to have too much whiskey in it because, you know, it is dry January. You don't want to have a lot of alcohol in your soup, but also it just wouldn't taste that good. But when you use a glug, what you're doing is that you're kind of giving enough whiskey that you can still evaporate off a lot of the alcohol, but you're getting a lot of that caramelization, a lot of those flavors. So when you're making the soup, how I would make it is when you fry off your garlic and your onions first. You want to caramelize those so they're going to get a really nice flavor for the soup. And that's when I would come in, bam, with the Dead Rabbit. That's when you throw in your glug.
You're least expecting it.
Yeah. Hold it out of sight, you know. You got to like, You gotta be like a little ninja in the kitchen. But yeah, it's like, it's just, it's so, so good for deglazing your pan. And, you know, it really does help add with the caramel notes that you want. So yeah, just a little glug in the pan. And then after that, do your next steps where you're adding your butter, you're cooking your potato and leek. And then with the steps, so some people, when they're making potato and leek soup, they use a thing called a cartouche. This is where we get super fancy and nerdy. Essentially, it's just a piece of greaseproof paper, and you just put it on top of the potatoes and the leeks, and it stops them from drying out. So you want to make sure that if you are going to use your dead rabbit, that you do use it in the step before you use your cartouche. Because if not, then you're essentially evaporating the alcohol, and then it might not have anywhere to go. And suddenly you've got extra boozy potatoes, which I'm not saying is bad, but, you know, flavor-wise, it's maybe not the best. So yeah, what you want to do is make sure that you get it before that cartouche step. And then after you've cooked off, you use your cartouche, then you add in, you cook them a little bit, then you take off the cartouche, you add your stock, and then you blend it all up, and then you add in your milk and your cream, and you season. And then poof, there we go. We've got potato and leek soup. But it's so, like, it's like a little badass potato and leek soup, you know?
It sounds delicious. So on day 19 of Dry January, just to reiterate, the recipe is one boiled potato and 12 glugs of dead rabbit in a separate glass. And that is acceptable, yeah?
You forgot the butter and the milk when we are in Ireland. You know, other than that, it was perfect. I have full faith in your soup making capabilities.
Perfect. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Steph.
No problems. Bye.
That was Cocktail Time with Steph.
That was Quiva from Wyvern Lingo. Be sure to check out their new album, which is released in February, as well as their solo DJing venture, Little Brandon. I'll catch you next week. Take care. There's no need to resuscitate. You have your girl now. You have your new girl now. You have your world now. You have your new world now. The